Hello, Americans. Stand by for news.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Spanning the globe to bring you the latest in classic rock news and comment. It's the Classic Guitar Rock Daily Update with your host, Jeremy Lunnon.
Well, hello. It's a new week, Monday morning. We like Mondays around here. Okay, I don't want there to be any confusion. We don't do any of this Monday doldrum stuff because Mondays are a new opportunity to rock. To seize the carp, right? I mean, that's what we're here for. And I'm just going to give you a heads up right now. I got an awesome email, and I'm going to share it with you. Possibly the best email we've ever gotten. And we'll share that here in just a minute. But before we get to that, I hope you had a great Easter. Hope you had a great Easter weekend and were able to get together with family. Hopefully that was part of your plan. If not, I just hope you had a great weekend. Before we hop into the news, let's talk about our awesome sponsor, StubForge. StubForge.com. Now, we, by our very nature, right? Classic rock aficionados, we collect things. We like things. We like t-shirts. We like vinyl. We like all these things associated with the classic rock lifestyle. We didn't choose the classic rock lifestyle. It chose us. Well, StubForge.com is the perfect sponsor because I've talked about this the last few days. StubForge.com was made for folks who collect ticket stubs. I've got a few ticket stubs from the 80s. Most of my friends do. They hang on to those because they're cool. Well, they don't make them anymore, right? You buy a ticket now and they send you an email. And you scan your little phone. It's not the same. Well, StubForge.com makes tickets. Okay, so if you've got one of these electronic tickets, you can actually go out to their website and you can have it made into an actual physical ticket. StubForge uses the same printers, the same paper that like Ticketmaster used to use back in the day. And it's way better. You know, let's say you're buying concert tickets as a gift. Man, it's way better if you actually hand them those tickets and they can look at the tickets and read that, you know, the funky, you know, printing that goes. I mean, that's part of the experience, right? Well, you can do that with StubForge.com. Now you go to their website. There's, you can go in and design what you want your tickets to look like, several different templates. Again, they're using the same printer, the same paper. So it looks just like the tickets you used to buy. It's an interactive designer. And of course, the more you buy, the cheaper each ticket gets. So volume discounts, and it's really affordable to begin with. But if you're doing something for a large group of people, it really gets economical because each ticket is cheaper. And this is the coolest thing. I think this would be so awesome. Imagine you're having a party, anniversary party, birthday party, wedding. Imagine if you make tickets for that event. So the people that are invited, they get this envelope and they open it up and they're actual tickets for this event. I guarantee they will hang on to those forever. That'll be one of those things that they always remember because it's so cool. And you can make that all happen with StubForge.com. Really cool. I went out to the website, played around there for a while. It's awesome, guys. And I immediately was thinking, how can I use this for work stuff or whatever? But the possibilities are endless. But the physical concert tickets are really cool. And a lot of fun. So you should check them out. StubForge.com. All right. Let's hop into some news. Guys, this is a day of big announcements. It's a big announcements. Okay, I put a little blurb on my Twitter, my ex, last night. Maybe you saw it. The Classic Guitar Rock Radio is about to launch. It's in test mode right now. So this is a 24/7 online radio station where you can hear guitar-driven rock curated by yours truly. So if you don't like it, you can email me and say, Jeremy, what are you playing this crap for? Or Jeremy, why aren't you playing that? Guys, I got to tell you, I've been having a blast. And so you can go check it out right now. Eventually, I'll actually have a landing page where all you have to do is go to classicguitarrock.com. You'll be able to just hit the player right there. I don't have that yet. So now it's kind of a clunky URL, but I'll be posting that all over on Facebook, on YouTube, on X. So I would just ask you, click on it. I got to say, I'm impressed so far with my curation, okay? Now, part of the problem over the next few days, and you'll be involved in this process, you can. I'm limited right now to my personal CD collection because you got to upload your music, right? I got tons of vinyl. Most of my stuff is on vinyl. So I'm somewhat limited. You'll notice if you start listening that over the next few days that the catalog will expand. And of course, I noticed because I've been listening to it constantly for, 18 hours since I fired it up. But I'm already hearing songs repeat. And I'm like, oh, I don't want that to happen yet. It's only because I need to add more songs. But anyways, the great guitar-driven rock of the 60s, 70s, and 80s on a radio station. And by the way, we'll be playing the updates on there. We'll be putting podcast episodes up there. Episodes of the Classic Guitar Rock Time Machine will all be there. So this will be a repository for all things classic rock in an actual 24/7 radio station. And it sounds really good. It sounds really good. And yes, I'm using the Live 365 platform, which is awesome. I love it. So please click on one of these links that I will post. Spend a little time listening to it and let me know what you think. As always, you can email me, classicguitarrock@mail.com. Requests, right? At some point, I think there's the capability to actually have requests where you can go in and just enter a request and it'll play. So we'll see how that works out. But I'm super excited about that. Stand by for not the official launch, but I'm giving you a sneak peek. You can go in and check it out now before it's ready for prime time. Okay. Kind of pardon our dust, right? All right. Former Skid Row singer Sebastian Bach has admitted he feels like a piece of crap. I'll say crap. Keep it family friendly because he's been unable to reunite with the band. During a recent conversation with Metal Hammer, Bach opened up about his time with the glam metal group. He says, quote, "For me, doing three albums with Skid Row, I was just getting started," the singer admitted. "I didn't think it would be over and done with so quick." Then in 1996, they split. Their first album, I think, came out in 89 or 90. And by the way, over the weekend, I listened to that first Skid Row album. It's a really good album. I mean, I was working in radio at the time, and I remember we played 18 in Life. We played I Remember You. We played... there was some other song. There were like three songs off that album. And I dug it. I just never listened to the whole album. The whole album's really good. And you forget because Sebastian Bach, kind of like not as bad as Vince Neil, but he's kind of declined over the years. Let me just say, he's kind of had a decline, as we all do as we get a little older. You forget how great a singer he was. He really was a talented kid at the time. They did the three albums. Slave to the Ground was very well received. I didn't really listen to it. I don't know why. I didn't. So I need to go back and listen to that. But he did three pretty successful albums with Skid Row. And then in 96, they canned him. And the reason they canned him was Kiss wanted Skid Row to open for them. This would have been their big reunion tour in 96, 97. And there were scheduling conflicts. So the other guys in the band said, no, we can't do it. And that really made Sebastian mad. And I guess he flew off the handle. And so the guy said, we're done with you. They canned him. So I don't know all the story, but I think he's probably was kind of hard to deal with because he was talented and they haven't even really expressed an interest in him coming back. So since 96, okay, what is that? Almost 30 years ago, 28 years for 28 years, he's been trying to get back in the band and they won't have him. And they've had several replacement singers. But he says he would like to get together and he still holds out hope. He says, quote, "I can definitely see that happening considering they play the same songs I play. When I get a substantial royalty check for an album I did with musicians that I haven't been in the same room with since 1996, I feel like a piece of poop because we should be giving something back to the fans that have made this great life possible," end quote. And of course, Skid Row is like, well, we've been doing just fine without you. And remember last week, Eric Gronwall, who was the most recent singer in Skid Row, super talented guy, really good. He had to step out because of health reasons. So we mentioned that Lizzie Hale from Hailstorm will be the lead singer for Skid Row, at least for a month or two in their upcoming tour. So I would not be surprised. I don't know, but I would not be surprised if maybe Sebastian can finally get back with him. I don't know. We'll see. Though the other members of the band haven't seemed super excited about having him back. And that's the part we don't know. Yeah, he's talented. He was a great singer. But this is someone you're going to be on tour with the whole time. Right? And maybe they just don't, maybe it's not worth it to them to bring him back. I don't know. We shall see. Last week, we talked about how Bruce Dickinson was going to appear at a big comic convention, a Comic-Con out in California. Because remember, he's got this Mandrake project, which is not just an album. It's also a comic book. Okay? It's a multimedia extravaganza. And so Bruce appeared at this Comic-Con, and he talked more about this comic book. You know, how did he come up with the idea to mash together music and comics? And he says, this is kind of a long quote, but it's interesting. He says, quote, "Well, I think they do kind of go together. They really do. Music and games, music and comics and games. They're all related. Years ago, Iron Maiden, we were doing some cover art. And I said, why don't we do a comic like the comics that I used to read when I was a kid? When I suggested doing some covers, comic covers, we did some single artwork for Iron Maiden. And I thought, you know what? This is kind of cool. Then Iron Maiden had a video game called Legacy of the Beast. We still do. But what came with the video game, somebody produced a series of comics. And I thought they looked fantastic, but they lacked a story. And that got me thinking, what if you had an album that had a story that could be turned into a comic and the two things would work together? Okay, as it happened, they've actually grown apart. So the original album in 2014 was going to be one comic with the album. That's it. Then COVID happened. Other things happened. 7 years went by and I had a 12-episode graphic novel. And I went, I don't want to restrict the album to being like a script for this. These two things exist separately, but they inform each other. So you can look at the album and go, oh yeah, that's kind of related to the comic. And you look at the comic and go, oh, I see, that might be a little related to the album. But they're not dependent on each other. So you can buy the comic or you can buy the album or both. So there you go. I mean, two great tastes that taste great together, right? Hi, Marlon. Thanks for checking in. Happy Monday back to you, sir. By the way, you can always check in live if you're on Facebook, YouTube, X. Love to hear from you. And look, there's Tucker. Sebastian Bach and Skid Row comic. You know what, Tucker? That would be a great idea. You know, Dee Snider, he has comics, right? He has that comic book about him defending free speech at the Capitol. So why not? That would be interesting. Michael Marullo is checking in. He says he's not a fan of Iron Maiden beer. I've never tried. I don't drink beer. I don't know. Interesting. Rush has beer too. Rush has like an ale, a pale ale, you know, microbrewery stuff that you can get also. Okay, guys, I want to get to this email. And it's kind of long, but I think it's important. And this is what this podcast is all about. That's why I want to share this to you. My email's just blowing up. I got people emailing me right as we speak. It says, "Hi, Jeremy. I've been listening to your podcast for over a year or so since I first discovered it. I'm a recently retired game warden in Duluth, Minnesota, but since retiring, I've been driving around the Western U.S., hiking, camping, and listening to you, Jeff, John, JR, or whoever plays Robin to your Batman. Jeff was my first co-host, then John, then JR, all with Jeremy." You notice the theme here? Hey, if your name starts with J, you might have a shot. Okay, we'll see. "I started by binging on all the older episodes, but now I think I'm caught up. Also, I really enjoyed the new daily updates. Even if they're not actually daily, they're still great." They're not. They're semi-daily. Maybe I should call them the semi-daily update. That would be better. "I am a fellow member of the graduating class of 1985. Yes. So I think we have a lot of common experiences, and I like a lot of the same bands. I'm also a huge fan of gas station fountain drinks, Diet Coke being my preferred poison." I'm a unleaded Pepsi guy myself, straight Pepsi, "and have been frequently described by my wife as the fat guy in the basement." You have found your home. This is Ron, by the way. His name is Ron. Ron, you found your home. This is perfect for you. The perfect, because I'm not that fat, but I am in my basement and I'm fatter than I used to be. So when I refer to the fat guy in the basement, you know who I'm talking about. "Coincidentally, I also used to live and work in your neck of the woods. I was a federal game warden in the Seattle area, but I covered Spokane for about 5 years. So I think I've run over a lot of the same roads you have. To start off, I have a theory about the Rock and Roll Hall of Dung." It's the Rock and Roll Hall of Dung. "They know that many artists hate them and their annual popularity contest. So when they find a big name artist who supports them and participates in their ceremonies by inducting someone or playing the inductee's music, they reward that artist by eventually inducting them too. Case in point, Joan Jett helped induct the Dave Clark Five and Nirvana. And then poof, she's in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, despite having done nothing but covers and having been in a mediocre all-girl band. Same with Tom Morello. He inducts Kiss. Now his band is in. Why? Because they needed a post-grunge band. I'm waiting for an artist that they vote to induct to tell them to shove it. My money is on Randy Bachman. Steve Miller basically did tell them to shove it. You got to go back and watch Steve Miller. What about 3 years ago? By the way, Ron, Marlon says hi. Hello to Ron from Marlon. Yeah, Steve Miller, he ripped him a new one. They were even trying to get him to leave the stage. He said, "No, I'm not ready to leave yet." It was awesome. He says, "I'm waiting for an artist that they vote to induct to tell them to shove it. My money is on Randy Bachman." Randy could do it. That would be awesome. "I am actually disappointed as a Judas." Now listen to this. This is the most interesting part that many of us have overlooked in Judas Priest's induction. Okay. He says, "I am actually disappointed as a Judas Priest fan that Priest did not do that. How could they go up there and accept an award as an influencer?" That's right. They were inducted as an influencer, which basically is saying your music is not good enough to be in our hall, but a lot of artists like you. To me, that's just mind-blowing. Also mind-blowing is how a band like the Go-Go's can accept induction, knowing there are so many bands who are better and more deserving than they are who are still left out. And yeah, you could add the Go-Go's, Nina Simone, Tom Waits. Dolly Parton almost didn't accept because, but then they talked her into doing it. But why the heck is Dolly Parton? I love Dolly Parton. She has no business being in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. That's just, and she did, she agrees, right? But she still accepted it and all of that. Love her, right? She just shouldn't be in there. It is like a sports Hall of Fame where you get more money or endorsements for being able to say you're a Hall of Famer. No, sorry, that's a question. Is it like a sports Hall of Fame where you get more money or endorsements for being able to say you're a Hall of Famer? Does Spotify give them more money? I don't know. I would feel like a hypocrite. And I think the answer to that is no, I don't think they get any more money. Most artists say it's a joke, but then when they get inducted, they all of a sudden get happy and think it's cool, right? I also wanted to suggest a few bands you may want to check out, all along the lines of AC/DC. Airborne and Kings of the Sun, I've heard of Kings of the Sun, are both from Australia, and Bullet hails from Denmark. None of them are exactly breaking new ground as far as music, but they're all good old-fashioned guitar-driven bands that rock. I like those kind of bands. That's why I love Saxon, right? Finally, oh, and he corrects us here, which is awesome. Finally, I listened to you guys discussing the metal pride of Switzerland, Crocus. Either you or JR said that their hit Midnight Maniac was on the Headhunter album, which is incorrect. Headhunter was their first big album in the US and was a hard rocker. Eat the Rich, Stayed Awake All Night, a BTO cover, Ready to Burn, which features Rob Halford in the background vocal, Russian Winter, and the title track are great. Yeah. Isn't Screaming in the Night on that one too? That's a great song. Midnight Maniac was on their follow-up album, The Blitz, which also contained a cover of Sweet's Ballroom Blitz. I remember that. This was the album where their management label convinced them to go in the hair metal direction with spandex and frilly neon outfits a la Kiss on the Animal Eyes album or Ozzy in the Shot in the Dark video, aka lame. They went downhill from there, though. I believe they are back together and still playing. Ron, I actually saw, it was like from Wacken or one of the European festivals. It had to have been only 3 or 4 years old, Crocus. And they actually sounded really good. They sounded great. Apologies for the long email. I've been saving up some thoughts. Ha ha. Thanks for keeping the music we love current and relevant. I think a lot of younger people are now tuning in. Given the crap they have to choose from, I can't blame them. This is from Ron Kramer, K-Man 23300, following you on Instagram. Ron, thank you so much. This email will be printed out and pinned on the wall. I appreciate it so much. Ron, thanks for listening for that long, and thank you for your email. Any of you, please email me, classicguitarrock@mail.com. I'd love to hear from you. My friend Greg at the Mean Machine Radio Show checks in. Great segment. Rock on, brother. Thank you. Thank you, Greg. Great to hear from you. We need to talk this week. Michael says, I nominate Wilson Phillips. Okay. Well, they might be in there already. And yes, the Go-Go's are in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Yes, they are there. Kansas is not. Styx is not. Boston is not. Foreigner will finally be in this year. Bad Company's not. REO Speedwagon is not. Anyway, don't get me started. I'm in such a great mood after such a great email from Ron. Guys, thank you so much for tuning in to the updates. Thank you for listening to the podcast. And guys, you'll hear more about classic guitar rock radio. Keep your eyeballs peeled. And I'm going to post some links that you can kind of check out the work in progress that's going on. And we'll do this all again tomorrow. Thanks for tuning in. Take care, live long, and prosper. Bye-bye.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard.
Thanks for listening. You can email Jeremy at classicguitarrock@mail.com.
Every- everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it.
Tune in each weekday for the Classic Guitar Rock Daily Update.